On Monday, we read from your letters. Our show on the art of the essay addressed, among many other things, the proper length for an essay. Anna S. of Chandler, Arizona, wrote in with a relevant recollection from her high school days. My 12th grade English teacher, Mr. Silverberg, used to say, a good essay was like a skirt on a pretty woman, long enough to cover the subject, but short enough to be interesting. Later, when I taught high school English myself, I longed to use this description, but felt that it was neither appropriate to the environment nor consistent with my own feminist views. To me, however, this will probably always seem the best way to answer the question, how long does it have to be? During our show on roller coasters, we asked listeners to send us descriptions of their best roller coaster ride. Here are a few more, first from Andrea Austin of Richester, Michigan. Last October, I took a spin on the Millennium Force roller coaster at Cedar Point. I've always loved roller coasters and never passed the chance to take a ride. As I flew down the first hill, my peripheral vision closed in like a tunnel. Before I knew it, I was at the top of the next hill. I realized as the ride was over that I actually temporarily blacked out. I finally met my roller coaster match, however, I would definitely ride again. And from Sonia Swanson of Las Vegas, the best part of riding roller coasters is the feeling you get in the middle of a free fall drop. I sometimes slide into a state of almost listlessness, as if I have accepted inevitable death. That is what keeps me going back to the coasters, the notion that I have brushed lips with death and come back unscathed. Our political coverage last week brought in the greatest number of emails. Many listeners wrote in following our show on presidential ambition to critique our decision to include a question about Donna Rice in an interview with former presidential candidate Gary Hart. I was outraged by what you did, wrote Donald Milliken of San Diego. To remind the public of Senator Hart's past, whatever that was, made no contribution to the program, and it ended the program on a sour note. Many listeners also wrote in to correct NPR's Ken Rudin when he quoted Ann Richards many years ago, saying that George H.W. Bush was born with a silver eating utensil in his mouth. Rob Roy of Ann Arbor, Michigan, was among the many who caught the mistake. Shame on you all for misquoting the indomitable Ann Richards, he wrote. If you doubt my sources, please consult NPR's July 24th edition of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Well, we did just that, and here's the excerpt that begins as host Peter Sagal introduces the former governor.
Ann Richards of Texas first came to national attention with her memorable speech at the 1988 Democratic National Convention, in which she said of then-Vice President Bush, "Poor George, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth."
That's not at all what I said.
That's not what you said?
Absolutely not. You just stepped all over it.
Oh, I looked it up to get it right. What did you actually say?
What I actually said, poor George, he can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I looked it up on Google, and that's what it said, and it was like MSNBC.
God. What does that tell you?
It tells me that I don't believe
everything you read or see on the internet.
Or sometimes here on the radio. That former Texas Governor Ann Richards with Peter Sagal. If you have any words of admonition, wisdom, or praise for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is totn@npr.org. Please be sure to include your name and the place you're writing from. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.